Now, we're about to meet the entrepreneur Edwina Dunn, who has researched and written on the women who shape our world. Her book is rather marvellous. It's called The Female Lead, and it showcases 60 of the world's most accomplished women, showing the hallmarks of their success and, crucially, telling their story. Now, she's donated many thousands of copies to schools across the US and the UK, and I'm pleased to say she joins us now. Good morning, Edwina.
Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. And I'm struck by that, first of all, where you've already distributed the book. And you're quite clear on this, that you want this to inspire boys as well as girls, don't you?
I do. I think, we don't want this to be divisive in any way. We want it to be something that is about sharing that women can do amazing things. And, my hope is that boys as well as girls would be able to spontaneously name a role model that they admired. And, to have boys do that would be even better.
Wouldn't it be marvellous? What kind of reaction have you had so far from those who flicked through it?
I think what's amazed me most is that it's had appeal from both, really young women and boys who I think are viewing it quietly at the moment, but also quite experienced leaders in businesses themselves who see it as a way of communicating that, this thing about, what is female empowerment, it isn't really understood yet. And, so often the dimensions of money and power are used, but it's not really just about those things. There are many other ways that success can be measured.
And in that, there are some very obvious candidates in the book. I would have expected to have seen people like Christine Lagarde in there. Meryl Streep is one of the first featured in the book. People whose names and whose background is everything that the book is built upon. But then there are others in here as well. I'm looking at, I think it's one of the most striking photographs in the book, actually, Edwina, Brenda Berkman, who was New York City's first female firefighter. And people like her who have, forgive the pun, blazed a trail for who they are and what they do.
Yeah, she's amazing. I saw her when we filmed her and photographed her. And then we went to New York, actually, with the John Marr Theatre, who were talking about their all-female Shakespearean trilogy. And we had an event that she came to. And she's the most wonderful, inspiring character. And she came in her uniform and has no sentimentality when she talks about the things that she went through, which were brutal and dangerous, actually, in her time.
And she talks very openly here about the hostility that she faced when firefighting in New York City was open to women back in the late 1970s. But you get a very clear sense of her that she was kind of on this trailblazing path anyway. She was in the law beforehand. She gives an indication of how she was educated and the principles that she brought to her later role as a firefighter.
Yeah, I mean, I think she always had that sense of I'm working towards something, and, she obviously had, good education. But I don't think her path was set. I think, firefighting was what she wanted to do, but she had to return to the law to actually get what she believed in. And I think that's one of the themes in the book, which is you don't always get what you want straight off.
But she talks about her tenacity here, her feeling that there was a bit of discrimination about the first intake of female firefighters who were all mysteriously failed the entrance exam.
Yeah.
The work that she did to combat all of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been beyond difficult. Sometimes, we talk today about, is there, this sense of not belonging to the right club or things like that. But, I mean, that was brutally difficult. I mean, she was encroaching on something that felt like male heartland. And boy, did she feel it. I mean, there's some pretty brutal tricks played on her, which would be enough to send people running for the hills. And really, it was that courage and tenacity, as you say, that kept her going.
Yeah, and you look at her photograph now and you go, do you know what? If I was in a burning building, I would like her right by my side, right on my shoulder, helping me out of it. That's exactly what the photograph suggests. On the photography, should we talk just a bit about that? Because quite a lot of them are shot in black and white. Some are shot in colour, and they're all done by the world-renowned photographer. Is it Brigitte Lacombe?
Brigitte Lacombe, yes, indeed.
I wonder how much persuading she needed to take on board the project.
Well, you know, sometimes things come together brilliantly well, and I was introduced to Brigitte. It was an amazing story. I was sitting on a train, and I was struggling with the campaign and how to break through. And this lovely lady, Elizabeth Kessers, actually, just spontaneously started talking to me and saying, I know some people who might be able to help, because she'd written a book, Little Miss Ugly, actually, which is a sweet book about alienation at school. And she steered me well, and she introduced me to Brigitte Lacombe. And actually, once I'd spoken to her, it wasn't really a very difficult journey. It appealed to Brigitte right from the beginning. And so it fell together, but that doesn't mean it was easy, but Brigitte loved the idea of it. And you know, for me, having a top-notch photographer who was also female was sublime.
Yeah, and her work is utterly amazing in the book. Just to pick out some of the other people you feature, there's the likes of Dame Athene Donald, who's an eminent physicist, who talks about, again, being female in a world that at the time was rather dominated by men, but having the quiet courage of her convictions and letting her work kind of do the talking for her as well. And that's something that you see with a lot of the professional women in this book, talking about letting their knowledge and expertise shine through.
Yeah, and I think that was the difficult thing about doing this project. Women are very fast to say, oh, not me, there's someone else. Don't shine the light on me. You know, it's my work that's important. And getting them to talk about how they've managed to achieve this level in their work is quite difficult, because they don't really want to talk about themselves. And that's part of the challenge. I mean, Dame Athene is a very accomplished blogger. And for anybody who's interested in science, her blog is totally engaging, witty, intelligent, and very accessible. And, you know, she's been a mother. She is a mother. I don't mean she's been a mother. She is a mother. You know, she's married. She has a fabulously intelligent husband, you know, in the same field. But, she, you know, she manages to sort of navigate all of this and, you know, produce work at the highest level. She's now master of, you know, Churchill College in Cambridge, and, you know, sits at the top of a hall at dinners, and I think is inspiring to others who may follow after.
We shall talk some more in a moment. Alongside, we've got the entrepreneur Edwina Dunn, who's researched and written on women who shape our world. It's a marvellous book called The Female Lead, and in it, 60 of the world's most accomplished women show the hallmarks of their success, and they are wonderfully wide-ranging, everything from firefighters, campaigners, engineers, journalists, teachers, physicists, politicians and artists, and some well-known faces as well amongst them. More conversation in just a moment.
Share Radio.
Edwina Dunn has researched and written on the women who shape our world. In a book called The Female Lead, she showcases 60 of the world's most accomplished women, showing the hallmarks of their success. And thousands of these copies have been given to schools in the US, in the UK, in the hope that young boys as well as young girls are open to a possibility, the possibilities of the world around them. I mentioned some famous faces in the book, Edwina. I'm not surprised at all that Glenn Close is one of the first who you feature.
No, you mean Meryl Streep?
Meryl Streep, I beg your pardon, yes.
That's all right. Glenn Close would have been good too.
maybe for the second edition, perhaps.
Maybe, that's right. Yeah, it's really interesting. People have said to me, why these 60? And I said, because they were the first 60 who said yes, that we went after relentlessly. And I do admire their courage, I suppose, in stepping forward. I mean, you know, we were very lucky that, well, you know, Meryl Streep stood up and gave that incredible speech, which was just such a set of powerful lines and was all about women standing forward. Hillary Clinton gave a speech just recently talking about the importance of developing female leaders. So, you know, I think a little bit of the right time with the right voices out there has added some energy and some fire behind the whole campaign. And you know, the important thing is it's not just the book. There are films for every one of the 60 women. And there's also, you know, we have teaching materials that the Mulberry School have helped us develop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not just read the book, it's kind of get involved and volunteer some of your own role models.
Yeah, and I bet when you ask these younger girls who they would zero in on as role models, often the responses that they give are surprising and delightful?
Yes, I think, you know, we did... You know, what was interesting is we did a lot of research to because my background is data science, you know, I wanted evidence that this was needed and what problem it was trying to solve. And, you know, we studied, you know, using all the new digital data. We actually analyzed what 1 billion people were liking, following, sharing, and we found that boys follow lots and lots of things, you know, sports stars, gamers, bloggers, business people, politicians, you know, huge diversity. And then we looked at girls and there was this real problem that, you know, it was very one-dimensional. It was, you know, celebrity fashion, fashion and celebrity, and that was it. So boys, it was very much about what you do, and girls, it was very much about, you know, how you look. And that seemed to us quite a shocking set of facts, and that really became the driver behind the campaign. So studying that and trying to understand, you know, what are we trying to do here, you know, was the important part. And it was really trying to suggest to girls that other than their mothers and grandmothers, who they today will name mostly as their inspiration, you know, we wanted to be able to give them more than, you know, perhaps more the entertainment ones, you know, the Kardashians or, you know, whoever it might be, but to give them an alternative.
Mm-hmm. And is it paying off? Are girls looking more widely at high-ranking, high-achieving women in society?
Well, I hope so. I think it's too early to tell. I think, you know, the purpose of the book and the films and everything, it is to reach as many schools as we possibly can. And although, you know, we're going to a lot of them, you know, we won't be able to get to all of them. And so I suppose it's like with all things, the ones who are thinking about this and trying to do something will put their hands up first. And so this is all, you know, we're asking schools to volunteer their name and volunteer a contact. They get this all for free. Yeah. But unless they volunteer, we can't get it to them. And so I suppose my purpose really is to get schools who don't automatically stand forward, a bit like the women not automatically standing forwards, and to get them to say, give it to me, give it to the people in my school.
I'm personally quite pleased that there's a nod to the sporting world in the book as well. I'm a big supporter of women in sport, and if I had it my way, there'd be more coverage of women's sport on TV and on radio. I think we're moving forward at great strides with this. But still, there's something lacking in the mainstream media. But, you know, the likes of Lucy Bronze features in your book, Tracy Edwards, who was a yachtswoman. Talking about, again, how they have carved their way through what was otherwise a male-dominated field, allowing their talents to spill out and really pushing at the boundaries that existed in their time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's lovely to hear them talk about, you know, Lucy says, you know, I wasn't good at English and geography, but, you know, I was okay at sciences and sport I was really good at. And it made her feel good to know she was good at something. And I think that's what we're trying to encourage people to do, to follow that passion and to go for something that makes them feel good and makes them feel they, you know, they really could spend their whole life dedicated towards being great at that thing. And you mentioned Tracy Edwards. I mean, what's so amazing about her sailing on Maiden and that, you know, huge transatlantic race she took part in with an all-female crew is that, you know, when she started off, when she declared she was going to do that, instead of getting, you know, wonderful accolades and, wow, how successful and brilliant that is, she got a lot of hate mail. And you kind of think, why? But that's what it engendered at that time, and she had to get over that and, you know, and believe in herself and her team more than that. And now she's brought Maiden back to refit and to use to help girls in schools start to love things like sport and sailing. So she's putting back too.
And we're not talking necessarily people who have a long career and a life well lived. There are some younger women featuring in here. Lucy Bronze, the footballer, is among them. You've also included Mari Black, who was elected to Parliament last year. She's still only, what, 22?
Yeah.
But, oh, what a firecracker she is.
She is. Oh, excuse me, sorry. I've got the aftermaths of a cold. Yeah, and she's, you know, she's wonderful to hear talk, and I love her pride at saying, you know, I was only 17 when I was elected, and, you know, isn't that brilliant to feel that you can do anything you want from an early age? And actually, as part of the female lead, we had, you know, 20 in their 20s in the build-up to launching the book, and I think that's really important because, you know, as a young girl, you never think you're going to get old, do you? And
never.
It's very hard to look at older people and go, one day I'll be like that. And so having these young, you know, really adventurous, really extraordinary young women who are breaking the mold is quite good because it kind of says you don't have to do a certain amount of time to achieve something amazing.
Absolutely. You can be doing it right here and right now, can't you?
Yes,
let's talk about the hashtag She's My Inspiration, which you're hoping that people will use in connection with the book and in connection with the wider project. Are people using it, people adopting it, people nominating the women that they have admiration for?
They are. We had posters up around the UK. Thanks to Ocean, the poster company, who helped us and did that all pro bono. And those posters invited people to kind of get involved. And we've had amazing contributions from across the country on who are favorite role models. And we hope that's going to continue. And, you know, we're going to be analyzing that and starting to share with people who are the ones today. You know, it might be a teacher, a headmistress, it might be a friend, you know, it could be anyone, but wouldn't it be great to have 50,000 role models rather than the 60 we started with?
People could read more at thefemalelead.com. Follow the hashtag She's My Inspiration. And could there be more? Could there be a second and third editions of this?
Well, I don't know. It's been huge fun. It's taken 2 years. It's a lot of work. You know, I've never done anything like this before, but I have to say it's been extraordinary. I don't know. I think Ava DuVernay, one of the women, she made Selma, and she's a fabulous film director. The thing I loved about what she said is, you know, you just start, you begin. It will be messy, but you begin and you're on your way. I feel like that with the female lead. I don't have it all worked out, but I think we're on our way, and I think the way people respond to this will help us design the campaign of the future.
Thank you very much for talking to us. Edwina Dunn, who joins us this morning here on Share Radio. If the name itself is familiar, she founded with Clive Humby some time ago the global consumer insights business Dunn Humby. So something of a female trailblazer herself. You're listening to Share Radio. Once again, the book is The Female Lead. It's out now, and it's part of a not-for-profit project.